four provinces in the Philippines placed under the second highest COVID alert level. Additional policemen deployed to Cebu City to enforce its mobility restrictions on the unvaccinated. We'll speak with the mayor of Cebu City, Michael Rama, later on in the program. A presidential advisor calling for less stringent travel measures to boost the country's economy. The Philippines seen to record its slowest population growth in more than 70 years. And the Cusi faction of the ruling PDP Laban Party adopts Sara Duterte Carpio as its vice presidential bet. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, four Philippine provinces now under the country's second highest COVID alert level. Kalinga, Ifugao, Mountain Province, and Northern Samar will be under alert level 4 until the end of the month. Meanwhile, over a dozen more areas across the country are placed under alert level 3. The Philippines' COVID-19 caseload breaches the 3.3 million mark just 4 days after surpassing 3.2 million. That's after the health department logged 31,000 new infections Thursday. The number of active cases stands at 275,000. 110 more deaths, as well as 26,000 recoveries, were also recorded. While infections in the regions are on the rise, the health department and data experts see signs of improvement in Metro Manila, where the surge first started.
Nag-uumpisa na ang ebidensya na nagkakaroon na ng plateauing and hopefully a downward trajectory or plummeting of the cases. No? But siyempre, mahirap magsalita ng tapos. Dahil kailangan pa rin ang pagpapatuloy, ang patuloy na pag-iingat.
There is initial sign of decline, but we need to see if this will be sustained in the next day, especially the hospitalizations. The cases are now in the provinces, and facilities in NCR may need to be used by patients from neighboring provinces like Laguna, Quezon, Bulacan, and also Cavite.
A palace advisor says the Philippines should re-examine its pandemic protocols for international travel and remove some stringent measures. Presidential advisor for entrepreneurship Joey Concepcion says such moves are needed to help the airline and travel industry. Instead of RT-PCR tests, Concepcion says travelers should be allowed to undergo antigen tests. He adds home-based quarantines for travelers should also be an option.
Nasa 3 days yan for fully vaccinated, di ba? Nung una, binaba na natin sa 3 days for fully vaccinated and 5 days for unvaccinated. So dapat ibalik natin yan sa 3 days and 5 days. Ano? Once Omicron simmers down, no? And hopefully that will happen in the next weeks. What we're trying to say is that nandito ang Omicron, nandiyan rin sa ibang bansa. You cannot stop it. So, what is important, bakunado lang lahat ng mga tao dapat ang pumasok dito. At least, kung makasakit sila, they will not be severely affected. We have to live with the virus. There is no other way.
The chief of the Philippine Public Attorney's Office strikes a defiant tone after being urged to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Persida Acosta insists persons unvaccinated for COVID should not be discriminated against. Senate Minority Leader Franklin Drilon earlier urged the Justice Department to bar Acosta from physically reporting to work since she has yet to get a COVID jab. Health Chief Francisco Duque III also appealed to Acosta to get vaccinated.
Ang akin lamang. Bakit parang pinalalabas po na dangerous ang mga unvaccinated? Mali po yun eh. E di, ang ibig sabihin, kung pasusundan natin yung logic nila, ako down, dangerous, okay? E di, yung more than 50 million na hindi pa bakunado, dangerous sa buong Pilipinas? Ganun ba yun? Bakit mo i-deprive ng trabaho?
The government will hold a 5-day mobile vaccination drive for commuters and transport workers in Metro Manila. It will be done at the Parañaque Integrated Terminal Exchange from January 24 up to the 28th. The program aims to administer 500 COVID-19 shots daily, with those receiving boosters to be given priority. Walk-ins will also be entertained. This comes as the Transportation Department continues its implementation of the No Vaccine, No Ride policy in the National Capital Region. Region 8, now under high risk for hospital utilization as COVID-19 cases continue to rise in some provinces. Hospitals in Regions 1, 2, and 5 also seeing the same uptick. The National Capital Region, meanwhile, remains under moderate risk, but hospitalizations seem to have slowed down.
Hello?
In terms po sa hospital care utilization rate natin, USEC, no, may nakita tayong pagtaas sa mga ibang regions. Sa meron na tayong nasa high risk ngayon, which is yung region 8. And then yung mga moderate risk po natin, medyo madami po ngayon, no. Ang NCR ay nasa moderate risk po, no, pero kumpara last week mas mababa yung utilization rate nila. Then yung mga other regions po tumaas, no, and nasa under moderate risk po, such as CAR, region 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 13.
As government continues to urge the public to get vaccinated against COVID-19, the Department of Health gathered OB-gynecologists to assure pregnant women they should not worry about getting jabbed while expecting childbirth. Katrina Domingo reports.
More benefits than risks. This is how doctors describe the effect of COVID-19 vaccines on expectant mothers as the government continues to encourage pregnant women to get vaccinated against COVID-19 that has infected millions in the Philippines. According to the Philippine Obstetrical and Gynecological Society, several studies show that there is no correlation between COVID vaccines and infants who were born with physical deformities. There are also studies that have established proof that antibodies from vaccinated mothers can be transmitted to their babies through breast milk.
In my practice naman, so far wala akong pang naririnig na may adverse effects except yung mga mild na, yung injection site reactions. But as to the effects sa baby, wala pa akong na-experience or binalita sa akin ng pasyente.
Experts say that even if a mother tests positive for COVID-19, she can continue breastfeeding her child, provided that she wears a face mask and frequently sanitizes her hands.
Kung sakaling maghiwalay sila, pwede naman po mag-store, no, mag-express si mami ng breast milk para panandalian lang pong may supply si baby.
Doctors add unvaccinated women tend to have more difficult pregnancies, particularly if they get infected before childbirth. Among the available COVID-19 vaccines in the Philippines, only the Gamaleya Sputnik jab is not recommended for pregnant women. OB-gynecologists explain two different strains of COVID-19 were used to develop Sputnik's first and second doses, and there are not enough studies to prove that the Russian-made jab is safe for pregnant women and their unborn child. Meantime, the Department of Health says most of the children infected with COVID-19 are unvaccinated against the virus.
Halos bata na lang ang hindi bakunado, particularly dito sa NCR. So kung sinasabi natin may duda pa ba tayo kung ano yung impact ng vaccine, I think looking at the pediatric experience should prove that point. Sino na lang ba hindi bakunado? Pediatrics. Sino ba ngayon ng maraming admissions? Pediatrics.
The Philippines has yet to approve a vaccine for minors aged below 5 years old. But the country has been vaccinating minors between 12 and 17 years old. Vaccine czar Carlito Galvez says health officials are also studying if booster doses should be administered to children. But for the World Health Organization, there is still no evidence showing that children need booster shots, especially if they do not have comorbidities or are considered as generally healthy. This is why the health department continues to urge parents to ensure that all family members eligible to get vaccinated against COVID are jabbed to ensure the possibility of transmitting and spreading the virus within households will be limited. Katrina Domingo, ABS-CBN News.
The Philippines seen to record its lowest population growth in more than 70 years. It is expected to rise by just 0.3% last year, bringing the total Philippine population at the end of 2021 to around 109 million. That's 2 million lower than earlier projections based on a 1.63% population growth rate. The Commission on Population and Development says the raging pandemic has pushed couples to delay plans of having children.
The pandemic has caused people to behave in different ways. And mm-hmm. yung demographic situation natin is, you know, not really that normal. Ang nakita namin, as early as 2020, nababahala na yung mga Filipino couples, particularly women, about having an unplanned pregnancy, mm-hmm. Pagbubuntis. Sa panahon ng may pandemya dahil sa mahirap pagpunta health services, mm-hmm. Tapos may economic crisis pang sumabay.
More policemen have been deployed to Cebu City to enforce its mobility restrictions on the unvaccinated. As COVID-19 cases there continue to rise, Mayor Michael Rama now joins us for more on this. Mayor Mike, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you coming to the show.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right. So how much of a welcome development is this? We're talking about 150 police personnel now in the city to enforce mobility restrictions there. How much did you need this augmentation?
If you remember, we used to have even 300 to 700 before. When we had, yung noon nagiging top junior Cebu City. And obviously, we also have the certain time somewhere July when we had a third spike, we also were given an augmentation that definitely it had much help, especially on the so-called implementation of my executive order 157. And this is Oplan for you gihapon. Ibig sabihin po, pag wala kang ginagawa, sana tigil lang ka muna sa bahay so that you will not be an added problem causing the spreading and more cases of COVID. Even if where we are right now, accepting the fact that we already have Omicron in our midst. That's why enforcement is very important, Carmina. And that is from the household, situ, chapel, and even within the barangays and the entire city of Cebu.
Mayor Rama, Section 21 of your Executive Order 157 allows only fully vaccinated individuals to enter establishments and closed spaces. The CHR, though, taking a note of that, saying this section of your executive order is against the law. What's your reaction to that?
We do not have to argue, but there was such a comment from the human rights because right now, that vaccine, no entry vaccine, we place it in our charging station that actually outside my office. And when we had this spike, we have to protect others who have been fully vaccinated. And we cannot be identified na kami na magiging nagpo-promote ng spreading. Precisely, yung charging station, which is free, it's only a benefit granted by the city government to our constituent, that will only be good as ngayon yung ating executive order. Hindi ko naman executive order lang ito eh. It is the convergence, bottoms up, multi-sectoral, encompassing, brainstorming po na executive order.
Okay.
Part of that is likely yung sinasabing general law. It's just the general law. But it's not altogether hook, line, and sinker covers all activities.
All right. So you won't have a situation where in unvaccinated people will be prevented entry into malls and other enclosed areas?
Yes, yes. But if you're talking about when you're already in the mall and you're talking about indoor, then outdoor, it's a different situation because hindi lang yun yung Executive Order 157, Carmina, there have been already an upland to you before. And in fact, we ended up being discussed under the bubble vaccination. You're familiar before on the bubble vaccination?
Uh-huh.
This bubble vaccination did not come from me, actually. It is being recommended by the Chamber of Commerce. And even part of that is the hotel and restaurant. Because they had already much trouble enjoying mobility and democracy, freedom at one time, then lockdown automatically. It hurt the economy at a certain time here in the city of Cebu. So, para balancing of the health at saka sa economy, the suggestion was bubble vaccination. And we had it. And then later, it has been followed even by Manila and it carried some support, no less than from by Malacanang.
Mm. All right. Because what the CHR is saying is that private companies, private entities should be the ones to regulate, and government should be there to make sure that there is consistent protection of human rights during this pandemic, most especially. Mayor.
Maybe yes, it may be no. Because in a crisis, Carmina, we're talking now of a general welfare clause. And that cannot be ignored as the unvaccinated may have the reason to insist, but the majority, which is already so many of them in the city of Cebu, in our vaccination massive program, we have already had a master listed over 1 million, even over our population. Pangalawa, we already have hit our 700,000 Cebu City population having been vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
We're still reaching fully vaccinated, hopefully, anytime to reach 700,000. And with that being the case, we must also have to consider that we know scientifically that if we just allow unvaccinated any town, Dick and Harry to go around anywhere without being emphasis of consciousness of the public health minimum compliance, I don't think it will also be fair.
Yeah.
Government need not only regulate, but make laws, make executive orders for someone to constitutional, which is autonomy, and the general welfare clause, which is enshrined in the local government code 7160.
I understand that. Yeah, Mayor, I understand that. Sorry, but we're running out of time and we do have so much more to talk about. But it need not be punitive. All these laws and policies that you will craft or have crafted to protect the majority need not be punitive against those who choose to be unvaccinated. By the way, have you even found out the reason as to why a portion of your population there in Cebu have yet to be vaccinated? What are the reasons?
Carmina, if it was not because of Odette, we were already running so quick and fast. Cebu City has been awarded as number one all over the country. In the 3 days of vaccination, binigyan kami ng kota ng 32,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we reached over 100,000. E dumating yung Odette. Kaya nagpa-backlog kami. Pero we never stopped. During that time when we became number one, we had 21 vaccination sites, functional and operational. As of today then, we have about 17 vaccination sites, functional and operational. We have to address yung second dose that had missed a couple of days or weeks because of Odette Carmina, and we are very fast in it. And that, I can assure you that in the days to come, maybe after maybe second week of February, so thereabout, we will be having another interview, and I am pretty sure we will have a very, very good figure in terms of our vaccination program.
Yeah, but for those who still choose to not get vaccinated, or those who are unvaccinated, what are the reasons behind that?
No, we have also thought about that. I am a lawyer, and I know where I am coming from. But just like in Cebu City, and we're talking about our, shall we say, employees. We have 10,000 employees, and we are now little 5%. They all have been vaccinated. And what was our program at that time? We were giving them bonus, but release of the bonus will only be dependent upon if all will be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Yes, it really had helped a lot. Second, we had our Pabakuna Bonanza, where intermittently we had some pakulu within the vaccination site. And now we will be having our grand draw in the days to come. Mm-hmm. And the grand draw will include brand new car, Toyota, house and lot. And we have gift certificate, which is coming from Ayala, Robinson, then the Caisanos, and more of motorcycles and other very enticing prices. And that helped really increase the number of vaccines.
But still, Mayor, as we speak, even if it's just a small number, there are still people who are unvaccinated in Cebu. How do you then make sure that whatever laws or policies you come up with, that it's not going to be punitive, but also still in protection of their human rights?
We have been very also mad on the information, communication, and education. We are mindful that is precisely, I wish, and this is going to be an opportunity in this particular venue, Carmina, that the Supreme Court should make a stand on this matter. And that will give everybody already a very clear understanding on how we should treat those unvaccinated and how we should recognize also those who are vaccinated, so that there is going to be a balancing of interest. And me, as the mayor, I am very mindful about it.
Mayor, of course, we're talking about not just your EO-157, but also why you had to issue that executive order. As we speak, you have a positivity rate of close to 52%. May I ask you now, the hospital capacity there in Cebu, your manpower, your supply of medicines, how is that coming along? Where do you stand at this point?
We have been, even before that, we already formed the convergence. And that convergence, as I said earlier, is a multi-sectoral bottoms up. Now, I just had, and I left the convergence and brought to them about where we are right now. And they are very happy that as far as communication, water, and even power, that we are very much improving. Number two, well, the ayudas, the financial assistance. We thank the government under the presidency of the Digong Mayor Pangulo Duterte, Senator Bongo also intervening, interceding. And I thank all those who have been helping us, Carmina, from other local government units. And we are practically in a united approach as one Cebu Island led by Governor Gwen Garcia. And we have our OPA of Office of the Presidential Assistant, Secretary Michael Dino, and the Tri-Cities. We are working in all of this matter about COVID as one Cebu Island. Precisely, this executive order is one among the intervention, and we will be pursuing this through the teeth with the help of our police force.
You know, when you look at what we're experiencing here in Manila, the surge was just so massive, the sheer number of people getting infected. But as in the other nations across the globe, there was a steep rise, but there was a steep decline as well. Where are you now in terms of that? At 51, at almost 53% in positivity rate, are you able to react right away? Is this causing a strain in the healthcare system there in Cebu, Mayor?
It has been recognized that it is really, for me, an insurmountable but still manageable. And I say manageable because all of us are interconnected, Carmina, all of us. And we have a very effective emergency operation center that used to be overseen by Secretary Roy Simato. But this time, with our chief implementer, General Mel Feliciano, and Deputy Councilor Joel Garganera, that is also a multi-sectoral center, and they are moving heaven and earth, even in our side, preparing the TTMF, the Temporary Treatment Monitoring Facility.
Okay.
The church, the businessmen, as one, and all the hospitals, we are very much focused in having all of these to continuously available so that we will not be overwhelming our healthcare system.
And finally, Mayor Rama, of course, we're talking about the Omicron surge against the backdrop of this pandemic, but also against the backdrop of Odette really wreaking havoc there in your city. How is this making things difficult for the city to, number one, still battle the pandemic, but number two, also fight the Omicron surge? How is it complicating things?
I always look at it as positive. It's a challenge, but with the pride of the Cebuanos and us being also spiritually dependent and protected by Senior Santo Niño, the oneness in us will bring us to be emancipated, get this whole thing out of our system, and in due time, as we face electoral process, we always be wishing, and we wish you'll pray for us also, Carmina, that we will all let the will of the people be heard when everything will be neutralized, because we were able to handle for our recovery and at the same time manage this health care challenge as one Cebuanos, one island Cebu, united action. Barog Sumpo.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Mayor Michael Rama there of Cebu City, we appreciate you coming to the show. Thanks for joining us today. Take care.
And be safe. Thank you.
Maraming salamat po. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, new COVID-19 cases in Japan reach a record high. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Four provinces in the Philippines placed under the second highest COVID alert level. Additional policemen deployed to Cebu City to enforce its mobility restrictions on the unvaccinated. A presidential advisor calling for less stringent travel measures to boost the country's economy. Philippines seen to record its slowest population growth in more than 70 years. And the Cusi faction of the ruling PDP Laban Party adopts Sara Duterte Carpio as its vice presidential bet. Back with more news. New coronavirus cases in Japan top 46,000, setting a new record for the third consecutive day. This takes the country's total caseload past 2 million. Authorities blame the sixth wave of infections to the Omicron variant. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida expanded a quasi-state of emergency to the capital, Tokyo, and other regions. This allows governors to limit mobility and business activities. It's a different story over in Africa. COVID-19 cases there now plummeting, and deaths are declining for the first time since the peak of the Omicron variant. The World Health Organization, it's saying newly reported infections fell by 20% last week and fatalities by 8%. South Africa, where the Omicron variant was first detected, had seen cases trending downward over the past 4 weeks. But the WHO warns Africa has yet to turn the tables on the pandemic. Only around 10% of the African population is fully vaccinated. France will begin easing restrictions even as COVID cases reach record highs. Work-from-home rules will be relaxed early February, while the cap on the number of people allowed into sports and entertainment venues will be lifted. Masks will no longer be required in outdoor venues. Nightclubs will also be allowed to reopen later next month, while COVID protocols in schools could be relaxed after the winter holidays. However, a certificate of vaccination to enter public venues will be enforced beginning January 24. Israel is ditching mandatory quarantine for children exposed to those infected with COVID-19. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett cited a need to ease the burden on parents and schools as case numbers spiral due to the Omicron variant. Beginning January 26, seventh, children will instead be required to take twice a week home antigen tests. These home kits will be free of charge. Bennett said, according to medical experts, children are, quote, on sufficiently safe ground to warrant the change in policy. The Kusi wing of the ruling party PDP-Laban adopts Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio as its vice presidential candidate for the 2022 elections. Let's get more details now from our correspondent Joyce Balancho. Joyce, what more can you tell us?
Carmina, that's right. The administration party PDP-Laban Kusi wing has just announced in a press briefing this morning that it has adopted Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio as the party's official candidate for vice president in the 2022 national polls. But when asked if they will also endorse her running mate, former Senator Bongbong Marcos, as presidential candidate, well, party president Secretary Alfonso Kusi said no. He explained it was an easy decision to adopt Mayor Sara Duterte, as the party believes her advocacies and vision are aligned with that of the party. It was a party decision, and the selection underwent a democratic process between members of the PDP-Laban. Now, for the presidential bet, Kusi said they are open to endorsing anybody, but they are still in the process of determining who can best continue the vital programs of the current administration. He said this does not exclude opposition candidate Vice President Lenny Robredo or even Senator Manny Pacquiao of the Pimentel faction of the PDP-Laban. When asked what is holding back the party from endorsing Marcos, Kusi said they are not yet convinced about supporting him now. To recall, PDP-Laban Kusi wing chairman, President Rodrigo Duterte himself, had before thrown tirades against Marcos, calling him a weak leader, among others. Kusi said they have always respected the views of the president and admitted his political preferences are always being considered by the party. However, Kusi also floated the idea it is also possible that the party might just end up not endorsing any presidential candidate for the 2022 polls. This does not bother the party, as they believe Mayor Sara and the local leaders, if elected, can still continue the advocacy of the ruling party. Now, Carmina, following the adoption of Mayor Sara as the VP candidate, the PDP-Laban Kusi faction said it is now finalizing its alliance agreement with the Lakas CMD party of Mayor Duterte. Carmina?
All right, Joyce, how are they able to compartmentalize that, given that, as you said, they're now formalizing the alliance? How is this going to look like for Mayor Sara Duterte now that PDP-Laban Kusi wing has endorsed her? Did Secretary Kusi give you any picture as to how that might look like?
Well, Party President Secretary Cusi said that this means that the whole machinery of PDP Lawan will be used to support Mayor Sara as their vice presidential candidate, but as to the other candidates, like for example, the senatorial slate of the PDP Laban and the Lakas CMB, we all know there are names that are not similar to parties. That's why they're still finalizing as to who particular local candidates and other senatorial candidates will also be adopted by the PDP Laban wing. They're still in the process of finalizing, you know, and clarifying party lines this time, Carmina.
Joyce, did Secretary Cusi make any mention of any talks with the mayor herself? Because this announcement only came from them. Was there any agreement with the mayor at all?
Well, he was very careful about answering that question. He was asked if it was a unilateral decision or if it was if there was any consultation with the mayor herself. Cusi said, let Mayor Sara react for herself and let's just wait for Mayor Sara to give any statement about this particular announcement of support. Carmina.
Joyce, let's talk about the timeline here. Is Secretary Cusi, being the party president of the PDP Laban, at least his wing, are they working on any timeline here as to when they hope to fill in the endorsement for a presidential candidate, Joyce?
Well, he did not give any particular deadline or a timeline for the party as to, you know, making a decision or choosing if they will endorse any particular presidential candidate. What he just said is they are in the process of, you know, choosing. And he also floated the idea that it's also possible that they might not even endorse anyone for the presidential bet. That's what's over now, Carmina.
Joyce, did he also give you any idea or any inclination that there's some sort of agreement now between the two factions? We're talking about the Manny Pacquiao, Coco Pimentel-led faction of the PDP Laban and also the wing that Secretary Cusi heads. Is it probable that there will be a meeting of the hearts and minds and you'll see these two factions coming together this time to just endorse the presidential run of Senator Manny Pacquiao, Joyce?
Well, Secretary Cusi was also very careful about, you know, answering that particular question. He was asked if there is a possibility that, you know, the two factions may come together and be, you know, choosing Senator Pacquiao as their presidential bet. Secretary Cusi said, talking about possibilities, anything is possible. Talking about likelihood, he said, let's just wait for the party decision if they will, you know, endorse any presidential candidate soon. Carmina.
All right, thanks a lot. Our correspondent Joyce Balancha there joining us on the line. Take care, Joyce. Keep safe. Appreciate your report. Well, back to the news. A proposal of a Davao mayor and vice presidential candidate Sara Duterte Carpio to mandate military service for all Filipinos turning 18 years old, that's been getting some mixed reactions. Defense Chief Delfin Lorenzana believes the proposal has merits, but he says implementing this comes with a number of huge challenges. Among them, funding. Lorenzana notes implementing the Reserve Officers Training Corps program, or ROTC, in private and public schools is a better alternative. The armed forces, meanwhile, sees Duterte Carpio's plan to be a big boost in nation building. Akbayan Party List begs to differ. It describes the proposal as absurd and irrelevant, saying government's focus should still be on COVID response. Sara Duterte Carpio and fellow vice presidential candidate Walden Bello trade barbs over the proposed mandatory military service. Bello slammed Duterte's idea, calling her a dictator in waiting. The Davao mayor hit back by calling Bello an ungrateful citizen. She said she hopes the youth do not follow his example. And this was Bello's reply.
If they only bothered to do their research, alam naman nila that I have done more for protecting the sovereignty of the Philippines than most of these generals or even her father. She owes me an apology, but I'm not going to press it.
Meanwhile, a political and governance expert also expressed reservations on Duterte's proposal.
Where will we get the money for this? This proposal, while initially may sound good, upon further testing of and reflection, it may not be a good idea after all. The only reason why I initially thought it was a good idea is because we have an imminent national security threat, which is China.
Jonas Abadilla, a student leader at the University of the Philippines, Diliman, slams Sara Duterte's proposal to mandate military service. Abadilla says the program is prone to physical and verbal abuse given its history. He also says there are other pressing concerns that need to be addressed, such as education and the health crisis.
We can have advanced civic or peace-building education. So promote more about the culture of the Philippines, to instill more nationalism in our country, not mandatory ROTC or militarism. Promote the values and of peace and respect for human rights is very essential right now amidst the pandemic.
Abadilla also called on the education sector to oppose that proposal. At least four leading economists in the Philippines back Vice President Lenny Robredo's plans of boosting the economy from its pandemic slump. These economists include, or economists rather, include former NEDA Director General Solito Monsod, make that Solita Monsod, and former Philippine Central Bank Deputy Governor Diwa Gunigundo. In an online forum organized by opposition coalition Isambayan, they lauded Robredo's 5-point jobs program and her freedom from COVID-19 plan. They also underscored the transformational leadership of Robredo as she continues to inspire people to do acts of volunteerism.
May malasakit sa mahihirap at binigyan sila ng pagkakataong umundad sa buhay. This is only one person. Got this check mark. The vice president has actually had hands-on discussions with the poor, and her activities are come out of those discussions.
The delayed printing of ballots for the 2022 Philippine polls finally gets underway. The Election Commission says some 60,000 local absentee voting ballots will be printed first. These ballots will not contain candidates' names since local absentee voting will be done manually. Voters will have to write the names of their preferred bets. The ballot printing was originally due to begin January 15th. It was later rescheduled to the 17th and then to the 19th. But the COMELEC postponed it again, citing technical issues. The poll body is optimistic printing will be completed by April 21st. Murder charges filed against 9 policemen in the killing of Calbayog City Mayor Ronaldo Aquino. The local official and 3 of his men were killed last year. Prosecutors determined they were killed in an ambush, not in a shootout, as claimed by the accused. The police officer had admitted to conspiring with the slain mayor's political rivals. The slain mayor's son says political violence still persists in the province.
Mga involved po na police ay patuloy pong pumupunta dito sa lugar namin. Ang nakaraang linggo lang po, meron pong tatlong barangay official po ang pinatay. Mga dating taga-suporta ng aking ama nang siya po ay nabubuhay pa.
Oh.
Actually, pilit po silang kinuha sa kanilang pamamahay at kinalagkad po papunta sa labas at wow. Doon pinagbabaril po. Humihingi po kami ng tulong sa gobyerno na sana po matutukan ng bayan namin at saka ang probinsya ng Samar.
World News Now, aid starts pouring into Tonga following an underwater volcanic eruption and ensuing tsunami. Flights from Australia and New Zealand landed in Tonga on Thursday, carrying much-needed supplies of water as well as shelter and communication equipment. The planes also carried power generators. Australia has also donated $1 million to boost the nation's recovery. Additional relief supplies also expected to arrive next week. The United Nations says more than 80% of Tonga's population has been badly affected by the disaster. The U.S. House panel investigating the deadly January 6 attack on the Capitol seeks an interview with former President Donald Trump's daughter and White House aide Ivanka Trump. Here's the full story.
The House committee investigating the deadly January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol is now reaching deeper into former President Donald Trump's inner circle. The panel on Thursday said it is seeking an interview with Trump's daughter and former White House aide Ivanka Trump. In a letter to Trump, lawmakers said they are seeking her voluntary cooperation as part of their ongoing probe and would limit their questions to issues related to events surrounding that day, including activities leading up to or influencing it and her role in the White House at that time. According to the panel, she was present in the Oval Office during key conversations leading up to January 6 and observed the telephone conversation between President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence on the morning of January 6. In an interview earlier this month with ABC News' This Week, Vice Chair of the committee, U.S. Representative Liz Cheney, one of two Republican members, said the panel has, quote, firsthand testimony that Ivanka Trump asked her father to intervene during the Capitol riots. A statement released by Ivanka Trump's spokesperson acknowledged the request from the panel, but did not address whether she would cooperate with the committee's investigation. The former president has blasted the committee's probe as a partisan effort and has sought to stop other aides from testifying and White House documents from reaching the panel. But in a blow to Trump's camp, the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday rejected his efforts to block the release of key White House records related to January 6 in an 8-1 decision. In a statement, the panel called the ruling, quote, a victory for the rule of law in American democracy.
After upending brick-and-mortar retail, Amazon is opening a clothing store in the physical world. The first Amazon-style store will open in Glendale, California, later this year. But unlike other department stores, this will have a so-called magic closet and algorithmic recommendations. Model items would be displayed on the racks, and customers can scan a code using Amazon's mobile app to select the color and size they would like. Excuse me. To try on the clothes, shoppers enter a virtual line for a fitting room that they can unlock with their smartphone when it is ready. Each dressing room has a touch screen, letting shoppers request more items that staff deliver to a secure two-sided closet. Amazon will keep a record of every item a customer scans so its algorithms personalize clothing recommendations. In sports, the Phoenix Suns rallied late to emerge victorious in their matchup against the Dallas Mavericks in today's NBA action. Phoenix all-star backcourt of Devin Booker and Chris Paul combined for some 48 points. The win allowed the Suns to sweep their five-game record and make that road trip. They also remain on top of the NBA's leaderboard with 35 wins and just 9 losses. Dallas dropped to 26-20. The Philippines set to field 584 athletes and 161 officials to the 31st Southeast Asian Games in Hanoi. The Philippine Olympic Committee initially set a 627-athlete delegation to the SEA Games, but due to budgetary constraints, officials had to limit the delegation. The sporting event will run from May 12th until May 25th. Of course, for more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And next on In Focus, we begin our series of interviews with the 2022 presidential contenders. We are starting off with Senator Panfilo Lacson, who will join us on Tuesday, January 25th, here on Dateline Philippines. If you got any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.